to find the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, chapter number 10, Nehemiah 10. And then I want you to also find 1 Corinthians 9 in the New Testament. Nehemiah 10 in the Old Testament, and that's page 561 in the Pew Bible. And then 1 Corinthians 9, and that's page 1191. If you need a handout, our ushers have these and are ready to give them to you. So if you need a handout, lift your hand up high and let our ushers see you and give you one right now. Maybe we missed you on the way in. We want to make sure you get one. All right, Nehemiah chapter 10 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 in the New Testament. Last week in church, Sunday morning, we asked this question: does my giving matter to God? And what is the answer to that question?
Yes.
We looked, if you bring up the chart here on PowerPoint, we looked throughout the different time periods in God's Word, and we discovered that even back here before there was any written Word of God, men like Noah and Abraham gave, and it touched the heart of God. We saw in the Old Testament, God noticed people's giving. We saw during the life of Christ on earth, remember the widow who put her mites into the offer, and boy, God noticed that. And we looked then at this time period, the parentheses is where we're living, right in this time period, and we saw in the time of grace that God, it truly mattered to God, and it touched His heart when He saw His people giving sacrificially. Why would God care about our giving? Well, we learned last week that it's because our giving reflects the love that we have for God in our heart. Our giving demonstrates to God that we love Him. It shows our heart. It's kind of like a husband. You know, if a husband, if he says he loves his wife, but he never gives of himself to his wife, he never helps his wife, he's never there for her, he never says anything kind to her, then you know what? His actions speak louder than his words, and his actions reveal his heart. He can say he loves her, but if he never gives to his wife, then his actions speak louder than his words. Amen, church? Right? Did I tell you all the story about the wealthy old man and he married this beautiful young chick? Did I tell you about that? He got this beautiful young chick to marry him. Real wealthy old geezer, you know. And this old geezer, he started wondering whether or not she might have married him for his money. And so one day he asked her. He said, "Now I want you to tell me the truth." He said, "If I lost all my money, I lost it all. He said, if I was penniless, would you still love me?" Young chick looked at him. She said, "Oh, honey." She said, "Don't be silly." She said, "Of course I would still love you, and I'd miss you terribly." She's gone. "Of course I'd still love you, and I'd miss you terribly," she said. You know, I would say her actions spoke louder than her words. Amen? And you know, it's that way with the Lord. God notices our giving, and it touches His heart. In fact, God's Word says that the Philippian church, they gave sacrificially to God, and the Bible says it was like a sweet smell to God. Remember that last week? It was like a sweet smell to the Lord when they gave, and it was well-pleasing. Remember I gave the illustration when Denise and I dated, she wore that perfume that drove me nuts, and you remember how when she got out of the car, how there was a sweet-smelling savor that filled the car. Remember that? I had 5 guys ask my wife the name of that perfume last week after church. Giving, in your handout, it says giving is the natural and normal response of a person that loves God. Giving is the natural and normal response of a person that just loves the Lord. You know, I want to consider this question this morning. And we already answered the first question. Does our giving matter to God? Does He care about it? Yes or no? Yeah, we saw all through the Bible last week that He cares. Well, here's the question I want to consider today. Does the place of my giving matter to God? Now, let's go back to the husband and wife. Remember the guy who never, he said he loved his wife, but he never gave to her? Let's say that she confronted him about his lack of giving. And he responds to her. Now get a load of this, guy. See how this would go over. He responds to his wife and he says to her, "But I give of myself to the guys on the ball team. I give of myself to the people up at the church. You know I'm always helping our neighbor's wife with odd jobs around her house." Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ladies, does that go over, yes or no? That's the loudest no I've had in a long time. That is that going to be acceptable to her, that answer? Would you agree that the place of his giving matters to his wife? Yeah. Oh, I'm giving to myself to the guys on the ball team. I'm giving up at the church. I'm giving to the neighbor's wife. Well, you know what? That isn't going to cut it. The place of our giving truly matters. And it's the same way in our giving to God. If you look up at the chart, all throughout history, all throughout this timeline, God is seeking to fulfill on earth a purpose and a plan. God has a will that he's trying to accomplish in the Old Testament. And then it's a little different when Christ comes to the earth. Then it's different during the parentheses, the time period we're living in. Then once we're called out, God has another plan and purpose he's fulfilling over here, a kingdom program. But here's my point. In each one of these different time periods, God does have something he's trying to fulfill. He's got a plan he's trying to advance on planet earth. He's got a plan he's trying to move forward. And the place that his people give mattered to God, because he had a plan and he wanted them to give to help make that plan a reality. I want us to look at the first section there in your handout, and that is God's place of giving in the Old Testament. Now, if you look up at the timeline, you notice back here, God, you remember last week, God had a testament or a covenant with a people. Here, let me just real quickly explain to you what's going on in the Old Testament of your Bible. This is going to help you. This message is going to answer some questions for you guys as far as what God's doing throughout the Bible. You see, in the Old Testament, some of that stuff, when you read it, you kind of scratch your head. And the reason why is because God wasn't working a plan back here the same as the plan that he's doing here. Okay? What I mean by that is this. God had a plan back here, okay, before the cross, the Old Testament, that he was going to reach the world with his truth, but here's how he was going to do it. Here was the plan. It's in your handout. I want you to get this statement. God would raise up a nation of people that would be a light to all the other nations. Now, can anybody tell me who was that nation that God chose and raised up in the Old Testament? It was Israel. So God was going to raise up a nation, which would be the nation of Israel, and here's what was going to happen. Here's what God was going to do. God was going to give them, Israel, a land area. He's going to plant them in a land area. Then you know what God was going to do next? God was going to give them a religious law called the Old Testament. He was going to give them a religious order. He was going to give them a religious center of worship called the temple. I'm going to bring up a picture here. This is a rendering of what the temple in Jerusalem would have looked like in the Old Testament. Can we bring that picture up? You notice how massive it is, and all the walls and all the intricate detail. The temple, this was going to be the center of worship. This was going to be the hub of Israel's religious activity. Now, here's the deal. As Israel, that chosen nation, as they obeyed God's law, as they kept the covenant, as they obeyed God's instructions, as they worshiped God here in this place called the temple, then God said, if you'll obey me, I'm going to mightily bless your land. I'm going to bless you. And it's going to be a testimony to all the other nations that your God is the true and living God. Jehovah God is the true and living God. And it's not because you deserve it. It's not because I love you more. No, you are simply the chosen people that are going to be the light and the testimony to all the other nations of who I am. So in order to achieve that purpose, in order to achieve the plan of what God's trying to do, here's what God did. God mandated that a believer in the Old Testament would give a certain amount of their, of what they brought in. They would give to God back a certain amount, and there was a specific place where they were to give it. I want you to go to Nehemiah chapter number 10, and I want to show you this. Look at verse 34. Nehemiah 10:34. And we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering, to bring it into the house of our God. After the houses of our fathers, at times appointed year by year, to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. And to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees year by year unto the house of the Lord. Folks, when he talks about the house of the Lord, you're looking at it right there. That was the house of the Lord, the temple. Now read on, verse 36. Also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks, to bring to the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of our God, and that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and oil, unto the priest, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God, to the chambers, into the treasure house. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn or of the new wine and the oil unto the chambers where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters and the singers. And we will not forsake the what? House of our God. So in your handout, I'm going to give you a couple statements here. It says the tithe, you just read about that. The tithe required that the Israelites give 10% of all their income. So they would take 10% of their income, and you know what they would do with it? They would take that tithe and they would carry it right here. Go back to the picture of the temple, please. They would take it to the temple here and they would give it to the Levites. You say, what are Levites? I thought Levites were blue jeans that you wear. No, Levites were a tribe in Israel that were not allowed to own land. They were not allowed to plant crops. They were not allowed to produce any income. They were solely dependent upon the giving of the people. So the people, the other tribes, they would bring in their tithes to the house of God. This is what would sustain the functioning of the temple and sustain the Levites and the priests who gave their whole life to make this function. You can imagine how many thousands of people it took to make something of this level to function and to work. So this is the center of God's plan in the Old Testament right here. I think we got a picture of a Levite, and this is just kind of an artist rendering here of a Levite. And they would take in these. They would offer up the sacrifices that were appropriate. They would teach the people the Word of God. They would do all these things at the temple. And the way they would be sustained is through the giving of the people. Their needs would be met through the tithes of God's people. That's how God would fund and advance His work on the earth. So here's my point. A Jew in the Old Testament could not just give anywhere they wanted to. If a Jew in the Old Testament said, I want to give to the Lord, but I don't want to give to the temple. I don't want to take it there to the Levites. If a Jew gave but did not give in the place God instructed, would he be obedient or disobedient? He's giving, but he's disobedient because he's not giving to the place that was appropriate. There's a verse here I'll bring up, Deuteronomy 12:11. Look at this. This is interesting. Old Testament. Then it says, then there shall be a what? A place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. It's talking about the temple. Thither shall ye bring. So there was a specific place where they were to bring their giving. Bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offering of your hand, and your choice vows, which you vow in the Lord. So there's a specific place. That's my point. That's my only point I want you to get, is that in the Old Testament, God's purpose and plan revolved around Israel and around the temple, and Israel was to give to make that purpose of God function. They were to give towards God's purpose and plan, His work through the temple. Okay, now, let's move in your handout to the next section there. And let's look at God's place of giving in His kingdom program. Jesus, if you go back to the timeline here, if everybody will look up here, Jesus Christ comes 400 years after the last book of the Old Testament's written, Malachi. Christ comes on the scene. He's born in Bethlehem. We're going to celebrate that next month. Christ comes on the scene. And when He comes on the scene, He comes to Israel right here, and He comes to announce His coming kingdom. He's coming to announce that I am the King, I am the Messiah, I am the one you've been waiting for, I am here to restore the kingdom that David and Solomon had, and you lost it because of disobedience. I'm calling you to repentance, Israel, because I am your long-awaited Messiah, and I have come from heaven to give you that kingdom. Now, in light of that coming kingdom, where was a Jew to give? Well, let's go to your handout and let's look at what Jesus told the little flock of Israel. Look in your handout. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the what? Kingdom. So in light of that coming kingdom, what were they to do? Turn your handout over and let's look at it. Sell that ye have, and what are the next three words? And give alms. In other words, give it away to those in need. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Right before, if we'll go back to the timeline here, right before Christ comes back down here to the earth and establishes that kingdom, the Bible teaches that Satan's evil plans are going to reach full throttle. And in this time period right here, we call the tribulation, the Antichrist, the man of sin, he is going to take over the temple. He's going to commit abominations. He's going to launch an all-out attack against believers on the earth during this time period. They are literally going to have to run for their lives. They are going to be persecuted, jailed, beaten, chased from their homes, Jesus taught. There are going to be multitudes of believing Jews that will be displaced from their homes, and they're going to be wandering around trying to eke out an existence. And so in lieu of this, in lieu of the kingdom that's going to be coming over here, what was a believing person to do in lieu of the coming kingdom? Jesus says, sell what you have and give it away. You need to be conscious to give to those in need. In your handout, let me give you a statement. It says, this is the place where God desired that His people give to those in need. They were to be a good Samaritan. Remember the parable He told them? Which one was the guy's neighbor? It was the good Samaritan that took care of him and gave and helped meet his needs. That is the giving under God's kingdom program. You sell what you have, you give it away to those in need. Now, look up here. Christ died on the cross, was buried, rose again. The Holy Spirit comes in the beginning of the book of Acts. They're like, whoa, the kingdom's coming. It's coming. So what did the believing Jews do in lieu of the fact they thought the kingdom was about to come? Well, look in your handout. Acts 2:45. It says that they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had what? Do you see how they gave in the kingdom program? They gave to those in need. Now, if you go back to the timeline here, let me show you something. Everything they gave away, they're going to get it back a hundredfold over here in the kingdom when Christ comes back. So He says, sell what you have, give it away. Don't be laying up treasures on earth, give it away. Give to those in need because we want to get them over here into the kingdom because Christ is going to come back and then you're going to receive it back a hundredfold. People today will read kingdom passages about giving to the poor and needy. And they, excuse me, they think if I'm involved in benevolent causes, then I've done my giving. Because the Bible says, you know, Jesus said, if you do it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Well, that's a kingdom passage. Matthew 25, that's dealing with people in this time period right here, not us over here. That's dealing with people here. Now, am I saying that we shouldn't give to the poor and needy? sure, as we, Paul said, as you have opportunity, do good to all men. It's not required giving, but he says, you know what? As you have opportunity, then do that. What I'm trying to say is, in the kingdom program, this giving to the poor and needy is required giving. That's the primary way they give. In our time period right here, we don't give to a temple. We don't take our stuff to a temple and give it to a priest. In our time period that we're living in here, the primary way we give isn't we just, you know, give to a benevolent cause and, well, I've done my giving to God. No, there is a place that God would have us to give that live in this time of grace. You see, today we live in a time period not under the law. We're not under the kingdom program. We live in what's called the dispensation of, does anybody know? Grace. Now look up here. The kingdom program was temporarily suspended back here in Acts because Israel rejected Christ. They didn't want anything to do with it. So the kingdom program was temporarily suspended. We know the law was done away through the cross. So now we live in a mystery time period that was hidden in God. It's a time of grace in which God is offering peace to every individual in the world through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Aren't you glad today that you don't have to come to God through a priest? You don't have to go to God through a Levite. You don't have to make a trek to Jerusalem and go to the temple there, you know, if there was one. You didn't have to do that. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go through a religious organization? Aren't you glad to know that because of what Christ did, because of his finished work on the cross, because he did everything necessary to atone for our sins, we can go directly to God through the finished work of Jesus Christ, through his merits, through his finished work, and we can receive the grace of God, total forgiveness of our sins, by individually placing our heart, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be saved today. And you know what? That's not just for you. That's for anybody in the world. Amen. Anyone in this country, anybody in any other country can be saved by simply putting their faith and trust in what Christ did. But let me ask you something. Can a person trust Christ if they've never heard of Christ? Well, no. That's where we come in. Do you know what God's plan and purpose is for today? Doesn't have to do with a temple. Doesn't have to do with, you know, people who are scattered and trying to eke out an existence and trying to help them to survive to get over here to the kingdom. No. What's God's plan and purpose for this time period? In your handout, it says, God's plan and purpose for this time period is that all people have the opportunity to hear God's truth so that they can be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4, that reference says, God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Let me ask you a question. Are you thankful that you have the opportunity to hear the truth of God? I said, are you thankful? Do you think other people would be thankful to hear it? Sure. Well, that's where we come in. What is God's method for getting his truth out to people today? Here it is. 1 Timothy 3:15 says this. It says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. What does that mean? Let me give you a statement in your handout. It says in your handout, it is the church that supports, proclaims, and holds up the truth of God for others to see it and believe in it. The church at Thessalonica sounded out the word of the Lord, the Bible says. And God's truth was made known through them. Do you think God wants to work through Crossroads to get his truth out? Sure. Why do you think we're doing Walk Through Bethlehem? Why would we go to all that work? Why would we go to all the work of having a Bible Institute? Why would we go to all the work of doing the outreach programs that we do and all the things that we offer to our community? Why would we do that? Because it's through the church that God wants to get his truth out. It's through the local church. In your handout, it says God is working through the church today. That's his plan. When God sent the Apostle Paul out on his missionary journeys, what did Paul go do? He did not go out primarily to just help the poor and needy and start homeless shelters. Now again, I'm not against that at all. But that's not what God sent. That's not the primary thing that God's doing. When God sent Paul out, it wasn't to start homeless shelters. when God sent Paul out, it wasn't to go build a temple somewhere and say, hey, everybody come to the temple. When God sent the Apostle Paul out in the book of Acts, it was to go out and establish local churches like Crossroads. He sent him out to get people saved, then bring them together and unite them into a local assembly, a local church, so that they can come together, study God's Word together, learn together, grow together, so that we can then in turn take the truth we're learning and proclaim it to the world. That's what God's doing today. But as always, God's plan must be funded by God's people. In your handout, it says the ministry of your local church should be the primary place of your giving in this time period today. Why? Because that's what God's doing today. That's what God's working through today. That's God's plan and purpose for today, is the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Go back with me now to your Bible, and we saw Nehemiah and how they brought the offerings and the tithes there to the temple. But what about today? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go to the church age now. Let's go to the time period we're living in. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I told you we were going to learn a lot today. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and look with me at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 9:9. Okay, the Apostle Paul writes to the church and he says, for it is written in the law of Moses, he's going to use an Old Testament illustration, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? In other words, when the oxen's out there treading the corn for you, you don't muzzle his mouth. You know, if he gets hungry, you let him have it. He's out there doing all the work. So if he wants some, you let him have it. You don't muzzle his mouth where he can't eat. Okay? And then look at verse 10. Or saith he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. In other words, if I'm out there plowing and planting, then it's only right I get to partake of that. Now look with me at the next verse, verse 11. Paul says, if we have sown unto you, everyone say it with me, let's cooperate here. If we have sown unto you what? Spiritual things. In other words, we've given you spiritual food. We've taught you God's Word. Then what does he say? He says, is it a great thing? Is it some big thing? If we shall reap your what? In other words, if we're sowing spiritual food into you, he's saying, isn't it right then that you would give back to meet the carnal, physical needs that are there in order to do that? Here's the principle. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. Good. If there is a ministry, like Crossroads or another ministry, but they're feeding you spiritual food, here's the principle. That's where we have an obligation to meet the physical, carnal needs of that ministry so that the Word can continue. We saw that the Old Testament temple and the Levitical priest were supported through a system of tithes and offerings that the people gave on a regular basis. Why? Because Israel reaped the benefit of that. These Levites they reap the benefit of the Levite service in the temple. They reap the benefit of the Levites teaching them the law. They reap the benefits of having the Levites offer up these sacrifices for them so they as a nation could be right with God. And so God said it's only right that you meet the needs that are there. So they would bring in these things to the temple. Well, we're taught that likewise, those who are teaching us today the Word of God, listen to me now, those who are teaching us the Word of God, ministries that are plowing and planting God's Word in our heart. In your handout it says, they are to be supported through its own people. Through its own people. In 1 Corinthians 9, go back there, chapter 9, verse 13. He says, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? Talking about those Old Testament Levites. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained. Now we're in this dispensation, that they which preach the gospel, those who are feeding you the Word of God and the gospel of Christ, should live. That is, they should derive their living, their sustenance, of the gospel. That's the principle. Listen, can I share something with you? Because a lot of people don't know this. But did you know Crossroads, our church, we're not a member of a denomination? We're not a member of a denominational group. We don't have any denominational monies that come to this church. Zero, zilch, no, we're not a member of one. We don't get any government funds. That's for sure. Everybody else does, but you know, but we don't get that. We don't have any, we're not supported through businesses or industries that give chunks. None of that. Do you know how this church does what it does week in and week out? Do you know how we do Bible Institute? Do you know how we do Awana Clubs? Do you know how we do youth ministry? Do you know how we do children's ministry? Do you know how we do Walk Through Bethlehem? Can anybody tell me how do we do it? Through the giving of its own people. Period. That's it. That is it. You see, giving to our local church, and again, if it's not Crossroads, if it's another church, that's great. You know, but giving to your local church, that's required giving in this dispensation. Why? Because that's where we get our spiritual nourishment. No kind of giving is to be substituted for that. It's kind of like, can you imagine if I went down here to Applebee's after church in Port Orange, and I'm sitting down there at Applebee's, and man, I tell you, me and my family, we have a big old meal. We are just stuffed up to here. The waiter brings the check. And I say, you know, I believe I ought to pay for this food. He's like, well, I'm glad to hear that, you know. And then I say, but you know, I hear Chili's down the street's been having a few problems lately, you know, just some monetary issues and problems and haven't had as many customers. So, you know, I think I'm gonna give for this food. But you know what? I think I'm going to give my check here. I'm going to go ahead and give it to Chili's instead of y'all. How do you think that'd go over with Applebee's? What would they say? No. Well, you're going to give where you got fed. Right? Would they be right for saying that? Well, sure. I mean, you enjoy a nice meal, you expect to pay for it. That's just the way it is, right? In this dispensation spiritually, no giving substitutes for giving through our local church because that's the hub of everything. That's like missions. You know, if we have missions month and we give to missions, that's great. But see, that should be above and beyond what we give to our local church. I mean, for the expenses of the local church. Why? Because guess what? If there's no Crossroads, we've got no missions program. Right? I mean, we support, if we say we support 100 missionaries, but say we can't pay our light bill, you know, then you know what? Then we're not going to be able to give to those 100 missionaries if there's not a Crossroads local church here. Does that make sense? So our primary giving is through our local church. Now, Denise and I, if we want to give to something above and beyond that, maybe like to a benevolent cause of some sort, or we want to give maybe to a missionary or missions or whatever. That's above and beyond our normal giving to help sustain our local church ministry. That's the way God set it up. That's the way it's supposed to function. We're so thankful for the truth that's being planted in our hearts. We want others to hear it, so we give so that our local church can continue. Unfortunately, it's very sad to say, but statistics show if you got these guys out here that do the stats on all the churches and they interview and all that. And statistics show most believers in America in the time of grace, if you go back to the chart there, go back to the timeline, most believers living here in the time of grace with all the benefits that we have the completed Word of God, we got the Holy Spirit inside of us, we got the completed work of Jesus Christ to look back to, but yet with all the benefits that we have, most people living in here, they don't even give the equivalent of what an Old Testament Jew would give to the temple. We don't even give the equivalent of what a Jew would give under the Old Testament law. Without the indwelling Holy Spirit, without the cross work of Christ, without the completed Word of God. We got all these advantages they didn't have, yet why do so few Christians even give equivalent to what an Old Testament Jew would have had to give? It's very simple. It's It's very simple. We in America are caught up in the affairs of this world. We overspend. We overspend. We stretch ourselves. We're materialistic. And the grip of materialism has us so bound that we have no clear vision to really even see what really matters. And I don't believe that we can please the Lord until we overcome our tendency to be covetous. Because we all have that tendency. And we have to learn the joy of becoming a cheerful, bountiful grace giver. You know, there's a verse here. I'm going to bring it up. 2 Timothy 2:4. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of what? This life. Why? That he may please him, God, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I can't please God when I'm in the grip of materialism. There's a great verse in 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. Would you all say God notices our giving and that it matters to Him? Do you all agree with me after this message? Do you think the place of our giving matters to God? Sure does. Old Testament, kingdom, dispensation of grace, all these different time periods, the place of our giving matters. It matters. Let me give you that last statement in your handout. It says, in each dispensation, God has a plan and purpose. And God desires that we understand that plan and purpose and give accordingly. Today, it's the local church. God works through local assemblies as pillars and ground of the truth. And that's the primary place. Not that we won't do other giving, but that's the primary place of our giving, is through our local church. I get asked these questions regularly, so I hope maybe you've learned a lot, you're growing, you're seeing these things, and I think as we put up the timeline and you're able to see this, it's helping you put your Bible together too. You know, it's helping you put the big picture together, and I hope it's a help to you. Would you join me in prayer? And let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. I believe that every one of us that are Christians that know the Lord should strive to be growing in the grace of giving. I believe we should all be striving to grow in the grace of giving. And I think that it's a blessing to see that grow each year that we're saved. Let's really determine that we're going to learn, we're going to grow. We're going to become stronger in this area because it matters to God. He notices. It's a sweet-smelling savor to Him. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, let God's Word speak to you today. And maybe this is an area you've kind of let slip. Maybe the grip of materialism's kind of got you. Hey, you need spiritual eyes to see what's important. We need to have our priorities in line. We need to make sure God is first. Father, thank You for Your Word today. Do a mighty work through it. And Lord, I pray that You'll be first in every area of our life. Lord, You said that this is an area that demonstrates the sincerity of our love. So Lord, help us, Lord, not to be like that illustration of the husband who says he loves his wife but never does anything for her. Help us, Lord, to show You how much we love You. Lord, we love You so much and thank You for the grace You've given, that You've poured into our lives. There's no way we could thank You enough for what You've done through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray today if there's anyone here who's not saved, they're not sure if they die today, they go to heaven, they'll get that settled today. We love You, praise You, thank You for what we've learned today. Help us to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.